So when you see them, tell them you love them and thank them for their hard work. I definitely love them and thank them for all that they do. Hey, today we're back in our series of Thrive, and this is lesson number 3. We talked in the first lesson about small things. You have to start small, and we talked about if you really want to thrive, you have to learn to do those small things well, and don't despise the day of small things. Everything great starts out small, and so don't be discouraged if things are small, and understand if you do the great work and give the right attention to the small things, you end up thriving later on. If you get discouraged when things are small, you end up sabotaging yourself, and you never get to thrive. So take care of those things. Last week, RB came in, did a great job talking about creating that culture and environment of thriving, and telling us some of his stories. That's some of my favorite things, and just listened to the CD a couple times last week. If you miss a service, we have CDs. It's also online at our new website, tlcforme.cc, so you can check it out there. Today we're talking about blessings. If you're going to thrive, don't you need some blessings? That's what I'm thinking. If I want to thrive, I need blessings, blessings from the Lord and blessings from others in my life, and I need to learn to be a blessing. We'll probably talk about that before the series is over. So what are blessings, and what do they look like, and how does God define them? We're going to talk a little bit about that today. We have an enemy that's always putting negative PR out there against God, against the church. He's in our heads sometimes. He's in our thoughts sometimes, talking negative to us. So we want to dispel some of that and really take a clear look at what blessings are, because in order to thrive, we need God's blessings in our life, and He loves to bless us. We're going to start off just by saying God loves to bless. He loves to favor us, help us, enrich us, enlarge us. Love that word today about Kari and I. God's going to enlarge our borders and our influence. Love that. God loves to enlarge those things, enlarge the good things in our lives. He loves to supply things, enhance things, and give us good things. This is God. This is who He is. And we're going to prove that. Look in the Word today and show you some of that. Hopefully you know that about God. But let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. Paul prays a prayer for the church. We're going to look at one of Paul's prayers. We're going to look at one of Peter's prayers, or John's prayers, I'm sorry. And what are these great apostles praying for the church? What are they praying for us? What are they asking God to do in our life? So Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He's praying, right? I'm bowing my knee in prayer to God for this reason. And he says, "From who the whole family in heaven and earth is named." We're all included in God's family. We are all His sons and daughters. All of us are. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. Doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your generation. Doesn't matter your gender. None of that matters. You're all included in this blessing of God, in this family of God. Verse 16 says that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. So God wants to give you, grant you, an amazing strength inside you, inside your inner man, in your soul, in your spirit. The strength that we need really comes from the inside out, doesn't it? Sometimes we look at external things to give us strength, to give us what we need. But Paul's prayer is God's going to do something inside of you. Jesus even said that from your belly shall flow rivers of living water. There's going to be something happen inside you. So this prayer of Paul wasn't that these external blessings will come upon you. That isn't where he starts. He starts with inside of you, God's going to strengthen you, and God's going to impart some things to you through His Spirit. Verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. So he wants Jesus Christ to live inside you. When I was young, we used to sing this little chorus, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. We used to sing that all the time because in the New Testament, we find out that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We find out that God doesn't want to live outside somewhere. He wants to live inside you. He wants to live inside me. You want to talk about some blessings. This God that created us, he's not distant. He's not out there somewhere beneath the pale moonlight, you know. He's not that. He's inside you. That's where he wants to be. And if you have this source inside you, nothing's impossible. You can weather all the storms. You can overcome everything. What a huge blessing to have God inside us. Well, that's a little different than the Old Testament, huh? A little different than the Old Testament. He's inside of us today. Now he's talking about that you might be rooted and grounded in love. And God is love, right? 1 John chapter 4, God is love. That's this who he is. That's his definition. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height of his love. Talk about blessing. We're going to talk about insecurity in just a minute, but sometimes insecurity is one of our biggest challenges. But here Paul's prayer is that you might understand, comprehend the width, depth, height, and whatever that other dimension was, of his love, those four dimensions. I know Don always says, hey, you're not supposed to have four dimensions, you know, when he's talking about that. But God's kind of outside of our regular dimension, isn't he? He's kind of outside of that. And he says in verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Sometimes you just can't grasp it. You just can't understand how much he loves you, how much he wants to bless you, how much he intends to do good for you. You can't grasp it sometimes. It passes knowledge that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Wow, God filled with the fullness of God, the God that can live in my heart, but the universe isn't big enough to contain him, the God that can speak and this universe is created, that God inside of me and me being filled with his fullness, now that's a prayer. I just hope you get a thimble full of God's, no, I hope that you're filled with the full, some of you maybe don't even know what a thimble is, but you might be filled with the fullness of God. Wow, that's big stuff right there. Oh, I just need a little bit of God and I'm okay. It's like Bril cream, that old commercial, dabble do ya, you know? Man, I'm going way back, aren't I? Way back. That's back in the 50s there. Some of you, are you still using Bril cream, Scott? He's clearing his throat. I got some left over from 1964. But this Christianity that we're talking about, this God loving you that we're talking about, it's not a dabble do ya. It's not I just need a little bit of God, show up to church occasionally, throw up a prayer when I'm really in a crisis, read a verse if I have to, just a little bit of God will do me. Nope. Paul's prayer is that you'll be filled with the fullness of this amazing creator, this lover of our soul that we have. Be filled with the fullness. And verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above, those are some three big old words, exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. I've asked for some big stuff. How about you? And I've thought of a lot bigger stuff than I've ever had the courage to ask for. But he says, but now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all, anything, everything you could ask or think. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and amen. So God is wanting to do for you, talking about blessing, God's wanting to do for you exceedingly abundantly above anything you've ever asked or thought. God's pretty cool. He's pretty good. On our signs out there, it says making life better. That's exactly what he wants to do for us, is just make life better for us. So God loves to bless us. The church is designed to help people receive and experience God and thrive in God. That's what the church is designed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. Let's look at John's prayer, 3 John chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 2. There's only one chapter, but chapter 1, verse 2, 3 John. Beloved, that's a cool word right there. You, all you who are loved, and he's not just saying, well, that's about half of you in the church. Nope, that's all of you. You're all in that category. You all are loved by God. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So John's prayer for the church was that you and I would prosper, be in health, as our soul prospered. Priority is your soul prospering. Priority is if you can get your soul prospering, if you can connect with God, if you can have this spiritual enrichment that comes from the Holy Spirit, that comes from your Savior, Jesus Christ, if you can get that happening in your life, then your health is going to prosper and everything else in your life will prosper. Occasionally, we want to shortcut that process. Occasionally, we just want, God, would you just give me some money? Don't worry about that Bible stuff and that prayer stuff and going to church stuff. And could you just give me some money? And occasionally, it's like, God, if you will heal me from the flu, I'll go to Africa. I'll do anything you want me to do. If you just heal me a disease or a sickness and we're not feeling well, sometimes you want to shortcut that whole thing. And God has done it before. God has provided finances and provided healing for people that weren't prospering in their spirit. But the whole point of that was, will you understand how great I am, and then will you give attention to your spiritual life because of this blessing that I favor you with? Because I love you. Would you know that I love you? Would you know that I have great intentions for you? Would you know that my plan for you and my will for you is better than any plan or will you can create on your own? Would you know that? Would you please understand that? And he's trying to get us to grasp that concept. So what amazing prayers these apostles are praying. So let's talk about what blessing is not. Blessing is not getting your own way. Well, if God really loved me and if he was really going to bless me, then he would let me have my own way. Sometimes you think about that with parenting. If my parents loved me, they would let me have my own way. If my boss really loved me, he'd let me have my own way. Whew, that fly. Get out of here. Being blessed is not just having your way. Life doesn't go our way, and sometimes we feel like we're not blessed because life isn't going our way. Have you guys read the Bible? There's been a few times in the Bible when things didn't go people's way, but they were blessed anyway. They prayed prayers, and God was in the process of answering them, and they didn't realize it, and they thought things were going bad, but they weren't. Things were okay. And God was going to work his great will. God says that my way is not your way, right? But he says that my ways are what? Higher than your way. Better than your way. Gooder. Is gooder a good word? Gooder than your way. My way is. My way is. It's kind of interesting that Christianity in the book of Acts in the first century was called the way. The way. God says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said that, right? Amen. So blessing is not just getting your own way. Blessing is not the absence of problems. If God loved me, I wouldn't have problems. If God loved me, we have these conditions that we create that if God loved me, this is the way it would be. Sometimes we do that with people, too. If my wife loved me, then I would be able to have my own way. And I wouldn't have problems with her. If my kids loved me, if My husband loved me. Sometimes we create those conditions about blessing. So it's not the absence of problems. Blessing is not just being fat, lazy, carefree, stress-free, and vegging out on the proverbial couch. That's not blessing. Somebody fanning you, feeding you grapes for the rest of your life. So we got to figure out what is blessing. If that stuff, that sounds pretty good. I don't know about the grape part. Maybe donut holes or something. I don't know. Maybe. You see the commercials on TV where the angels are in heaven eating Philadelphia cream cheese on bagels or something, you know. I'm pretty sure that's not heaven. Pretty sure that's not what God really has in store for us. Sometimes we can get mad at God because we think He isn't blessing us. We think He isn't taking care of us properly. Anybody ever done that? I'll raise my hand. There's been a few times that I'm going, God, are you still up there? Or are you still in here? He's in here, right? Are you still in there? There's been a few times, you know, I've felt like that. And I have counseled and talked to and prayed with lots of people that felt like that. Satan is the great accuser, isn't he? First thing in the Garden of Eden, Satan is accusing God of trying to withhold something good from Adam and Eve and saying, He doesn't really love you. He's holding you down. If you would eat that fruit, you'd be like Him. He wants to hold you. He wants you to be subservient. He wants you to be less than Him. He wants to be God. He is God, but Satan twisted all around to make you think that God is not good, that God doesn't want to bless you, that God has ulterior, negative, bad motives. And those ideas are still around today, aren't they? They go through my head once in a while. I don't know about you guys. I mean, He's pretty good at planting thoughts. They go through my head occasionally. So He's the accuser. And He wants us to think God doesn't love us. He's not taking care of us properly. He's not blessing us. But in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus gives us the Sermon on the Mount. He begins it with the Beatitudes. It's what they're called. I'm not really sure why they're called that. I was on the Mount of Beatitudes in Jerusalem a few years ago. It's a cool place, really cool place. Maybe you're supposed to have those attitudes, Beatitudes. That works. But anyway, that's what they're called. And so He gives us about 8 definitions of blessing. Blessed are these people. When you look at those 8 things, you're going, wow, that wasn't really my idea of who the blessed people are. I thought blessed are the really good looking, for everything goes their way. I don't know that from experience, but I've heard. Blessed are the wealthy, because they can buy anything they want and they have no problems. That would, if I'm writing the Beatitudes, I'm doing something like that. Blessed are the people that drive Fords, for they shall always get where they're going. You know, I had a problem with my Ford the other day. It's really weird. And I got to thinking back, I parked next to a Chevy. And never do that. Never do that. But I would do a whole different set of Beatitudes if it was me. But listen to what Jesus says. We're reading it out of the Message Bible today. It says, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God and His rule. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. Some of you, could you raise your hand and say, I am blessed today? If that's the definition, If that's the definition, I'm blessed at the end of my rope. Why would Jesus say that? Because when you are at the end of your rope, it doesn't mean you're not blessed. It doesn't mean God's not with you. It doesn't mean God doesn't love you. In fact, even because of the Footprints poem, we know that when you're in your most difficult times is when God's holding you closer than ever and carrying you. So the blessing is not you never have a moment when you're at the end of your rope. The blessing is when you're at the end of your rope, you're being held closer and better by God than at any other time of your life. That's blessing right there. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. King James says it that way. People at the end of their rope. I was looking at, what is that? Blessed are the discouraged. Poor in spirit. End of their rope. Blessed are the depressed. We think opposite of that. We think blessed are the excited, the happy. We think blessed are people when they're manic instead of depressed. You know, blessed are the manic people, you know. Blessed are those people. We would think blessed are the people that whose plans are working out instead of the people that are confused and disillusioned. So that's not Jesus' definition. But Satan, in those moments when we're at the end of our rope, says, hey, God doesn't love you. Hey, God's not blessing you. And you know the reason you're here at the end of your rope? Because you are bad. Because you're evil. Because you're wicked. And God's punishing you. Let go of the rope. Just let go. But Jesus says, no, no, no. When you're at the end of the rope, you're blessed. I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I have a plan to get you back up that rope. I have a plan. Hang on! I'm going to yank you up. Or maybe I'll gently reel you up. I don't know. I've been yanked and reeled gently both, so I'm not sure which one's next. Look at number two. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one who's most dear for you. Blessed are those who mourn. They shall be comforted. You're blessed when you feel like you've lost something most dear to you. You're going to be comforted. So the blessing isn't the absence of the problem. The blessing is that even though you have a problem, the amazing comfort of God undergirds you, supports you, takes care of you. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. See, God's definition of blessing is a little different than mine. But again, at those times when we've lost something dear to us are times when Satan says, yeah, God doesn't love you. Yeah, God, maybe he loves you, but he's really not aware. He's not interested. He's not engaged. He's not involved. None of that's true. When you're mourning, when you've lost something dear to you, he will comfort you. He will be closer to you than he's ever been before. How about the next one? You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can be bought. Blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. The meek. Those who are content. Bible says contentment with godliness is what? Great gain. I think a plague maybe in our time is insecurity. Anybody insecure? Most insecure people won't raise their hand. So yeah, you answered my question. Thank you. There's times I'm really insecure too. I think it's a plague. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who have this confidence or contentment. You're going to get the best things in life. When I'm insecure, I'm grasping at stuff and usually I end up grabbing the wrong stuff. How about you? When I'm insecure, I'm looking for something to just help me. I feel like a drowning man in a pool of water, you know. I'm just looking for something to get me up, hold me up when I'm insecure. But if you're content, you get to inherit the earth. You get to inherit. See, contentment is this patient thing. Contentment means that even though I'm not enough, God is, and He's with me. Even though I don't have the answers, He does, and I'm His son or daughter. Even though I don't know what to do next, He's going to lead me beside still waters. He's going to lead me into green pastures. If I'm going through a valley of the shadow of death, He's with me. His rod and staff, they're going to comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you can have contentment, if you can have peace in your life, if you can be a meek person, you can inherit the earth. You can wait for the good stuff, and you can have confidence and faith and trust. See, the blessing is contentment. Peace, security, confidence in God, not us necessarily, in God. Then you can inherit the earth. Now there's a blessing. Blessed are those folks. Blessed are those folks right there. Verse 6, you're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be, what? Filled. Filled. If you can get yourself to hunger and thirst for the right things, that's a blessing. You will be filled. If you can get yourself to pursue the good things in life, if you can do that, you're going to be filled. Blessed are those folks. Yeah, I could get hung up for 10 or 15 minutes on each one of these points, and this could become a two-hour sermon, so I'm trying to move along. Come on, Kelly, move along. Verse 7, you're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourself being cared for. Blessed are the merciful. They will obtain mercy. Some people believe the lie that you need to quit caring in order to preserve yourself and in order to protect yourself. You need to turn off that caring mode. You need to harden your heart. You need to turn off your emotions. Some people believe that deception. But the blessed people are the people that are merciful. The blessed people are the people that care. The blessed people are the people that let their emotions go where God wants them to go. They don't let their emotions control them in a wrong direction, but they don't shut down their emotions. You know, if you shut off your emotions and stop caring in order to protect yourself and not be hurt, maybe you'll never be hurt, but you'll never be helped either. And the fact is you will be hurt, because the more you isolate, the more you get hurt. The more walls you build up, not only are you stopping those that can hurt you, but you're stopping those that can help you. And one of the goals in life is not just for you to be helped. One of the goals in life is for you to get beyond that wall and go help somebody else too. Life would be a bummer if we all lived in our little bubbles, isolated from each other. Some of you think that would be heaven. That's not heaven, just so you know. Heaven is a city 1,000 miles high and 1,000 miles wide and 1,000 miles deep, and we all get to hang out there. That's the New Jerusalem. And I know there's going to be some countryside in heaven too. I understand that. The new heavens and the new earth, and it's going to be amazing and it's going to be very cool, but it's not going to be isolation. Jesus came to have a relationship with us, and Jesus created the church as the body of Christ, that we are in relationship with one another. He created that. Blessed are the merciful. The Bible says that if you lend to the poor, or if you minister to the poor, you lend to the Lord. That's a cool thing. If you have mercy towards those that are needy, and you help them, God says, you're lending to me. How many of you know that God pays his bills? God pays really good interest too. He pays his debts. So when you're merciful and helping others, it's called sowing and reaping. You guys heard of that, right? You reap what you sow. So sow the great stuff. Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. Amen. What's the next one? You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart right. Then you can see God in the outside world. I love the way the Message Bible says that. Blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. When you get your inside world right, then you can see God in the outside world. Blessed are the pure in heart. Purity of heart requires some healing. It requires some removal of junk in our heart. It requires some exchange of the old mind and to the new mind, the old way of thinking to a new way of thinking. It requires that to get pure in heart. To get pure in heart requires repentance. It requires prayers. It requires declarations and fastings. It requires you connecting with God and then following his instructions that are specifically designed for your heart, your life, and what you have experienced in the past and what your future is that he's designed for you. It's very specific for individuals in order to get to that purity of heart thing. The purity of heart means that the wounds are healed. It means that the scars are removed. It means that the unforgiveness is dealt with, and now you have a heart of forgiveness and cleanness, and you're not bitter in your heart anymore. It means that you're not selfish any longer, but you've turned out to help others and bless others, and the purity of heart understands the goodness of God and the ways of God and pursues that. Blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. A lot of people say, if I could just see God, then I would serve him. If God would just reveal himself to me, then I would follow him. But God says, no, you need to work on purity of heart, and then you get to see me. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? So I think it's a faith thing. It's a faith thing. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We have to come with this faith and then exercise that. The next one's an awesome one, too. You're blessed when you show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the sons of God. God is the ultimate peacemaker. God wants to make peace with us. He wants to make peace with humanity. He wants to make peace, and he wants to bring peace. And the angel said, peace on earth, right? When Jesus showed up on the day of his birth, it's this peace thing. It's an amazing thing that God wants. He's the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they're the sons of God. And I pray a lot that God would help me take on his character of peace. Not only that I would have peace personally, but I would be someone that could create a culture of peace around me. I want my home to be a home of peace. Maybe that's where you need to start, being a peacemaker, in your home, with your spouse, with your children, with your parents. Blessed are the peacemakers. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. Well, if they would do this, I could be a peacemaker. No, that isn't how it works. It's you go be the peacemaker. You be the one that creates peace. You be the one that prays peace over the home. You be the one that blesses people. Read the book. It's a pretty awesome book. You be that one. I got to hurry up. Blessed are the peacemakers. And the last one is, when you're treated badly for doing good, your reward is great in heaven. So if you're persecuted for unrighteousness, what does it say here? You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourself blessed every time people put you down, throw you out, speak lies about you, discredit you, that means that the truth is too close for comfort and they're uncomfortable. You can be glad when this happens. Give a cheer even. Woohoo! I'm being persecuted. Someone says, you dirty, rotten, stinking Christian, you're just... Praise, thank you, woohoo! It's hard to do that, I know, I don't do that either. You should duck really quick if you do that. Yeah. But it's this attitude. If people are against me, I'm not blessed. If people are lying about me, I'm not blessed. If people are persecuting me, I'm not blessed. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says you're blessed when you're being persecuted for rightness, for good things. You're blessed. Prophets were Jesus died for that. You're blessed. Don't worry about that. It's kind of this see, Satan would say, see, God doesn't love you. See, you're trying to do the right thing, and look what happens. See, you've committed your life to God, and you took a stand, and look at what happens. See, that's what Satan says. You're not blessed. This thing doesn't work. God's not real. But Jesus says, no, you're blessed when you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake. The definition of blessing is a little different sometimes, huh? How are you going to thrive if you keep listening to Satan say, every time you have a problem, God's not blessing you, God's not loving you, God's not taking care of you? It's really hard to thrive when you're listening to Satan's voice accusing God because of your situation and circumstances. See, we want you to thrive. So defining what blessing is, according to what Jesus says, will really help you. Some of you are going to walk out of here today going, hallelujah, I am really blessed. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm being persecuted for righteousness. I got all this conflict going on. I'm supposed to be a peacemaker. Woo, I'm blessed. Let's look at Numbers chapter 6. This is the benediction. This is the blessing that has happened for thousands of years in God's family and God's people and in God's church. And this was what Moses was commanded to say. And this is God. This is the heart of God. What is it? Verse 23, number 6. Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. And I will bless them. Amen. I want to read you a blessing out of this book, page 100. This is our book of the month. Man, I have just notes all over in this book going, okay, this guy I'm counseling, I want him to read this, I want him to read this, I want him to read this. This ministry in the church, I need them to read this, I need them to read this, I need them to read this. I mean, this is a great, great book. And here's the blessing on page 100. I bless you. It's called The Power of Blessing. It says, I bless you today by the heart and power of the Holy Spirit. I release upon you God's goodness and favor. I release upon you the oil of joy. I release upon you the presence of God so that from the wells of salvation you will draw water for the thirst in your life. May the Father's good pleasure be upon you, for he delights in and desires you. Old things have passed away. Begin to walk in the newness of life and the revelation of what shall be because of the future and the hope that lies before you. God has delivered you from your enemies and has opened for you a door of salvation. You have the key of David that opens and no one can shut. You will walk in fullness and the prosperity of God. Even as your soul prospers, so shall your spirit be quickened and made alive according to the will and purposes of God. May your children be taught of the Lord, and may his fullness be upon them. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. This is your heritage as a child of God. May you eat to the fullness. The enemy shall not steal bread from you, but a table shall be prepared for you in their midst. No longer shall you have bags with holes in them, for the honor of the Lord is to release upon you his expectation. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh or be bound by the fear of failure. For the Lord declares over you that you are a victor and not a victim. His intention is that you show forth his loving kindness and his mercy, and that you walk in the fullness of the dimension of the Holy Spirit. You will not diminish, weaken, depress, or grieve the Holy Spirit of promise, but you will allow him to be fully who he is to be. That's a lot of scriptures wrapped up in a big old blessing. That's the heart of God for you. You think if you experienced that, you'd be thriving? I think so. You know, you can thrive in the midst of difficulties. You can thrive. The Bible says there's a peace that passes understanding. You can thrive in the midst of difficulties and know that you're blessed and know that God's with you and have faith and confidence and be secure. You can be that. So here's what I want you to know today. Our God is a good God, and his greatest desire towards you is to bless you. He wants to bless you with salvation and forgiveness. God wants to bless you with salvation and forgiveness. He wants your soul to prosper. He wants the rest of your life to prosper too. God intends to daily load you with benefits. David wrote that in the Psalms. Daily, he loads me with benefits. When I read that, I hear this big old dump truck, beep, 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 backing up, beep, beep, load me up, Lord. Okay, I'm almost in position, beep. Loads me with benefits. Then I take off, loaded full of benefits. I hope every morning you back up to the Lord and let him load you full of benefits and then take off for the day and enjoy those good things. Here's what I want you to do. Receive God's blessings so you can thrive. Receive those things. Satan's wants us to stiff-arm God. Satan wants us to ignore God. Receive from God. Receive. Recognize that you're blessed even when it doesn't feel like you're blessed. Recognize that. That'll help you a lot. There's days that I don't feel like Kari loves me, but I know she loves me. Even though I don't feel like it that day, doesn't mean she doesn't love me, right? Maybe?
Yeah, right.
Okay, thank you. Recognize you're blessed even when you don't feel like it. God is with you and he's for you. What do I want you to do? Align yourself with that list in Matthew 5. You're blessed when you're mourning. You're blessed when you're persecuted. You're still blessed. There's lots of good stuff too. You know that. You know that. Let's pray. God, thanks for your word today. We want to thrive, and it's obvious you want us to. And so, God, we will adjust our thoughts. We will adjust our emotions to truth instead of the deceptions that Satan tries to put on us. We will know that you are a good God, and we will love you, and we will hold on tight to you, and we will trust you, and you will cause us to thrive. We will not let go. We will not walk away. God, we will not go the world's way and try to do it ourselves and figure it out ourselves. God, we will follow you. We will follow you because you are the great blesser. Amen. Amen. Hey, the ushers are coming. They're going to receive the offering. If you get your Connect card out today, we just love everybody to fill this out, everybody to put it in the offering plate. Makes it look like you put money in. You won't feel so bad. Couple things on this, regarding this. On the back of it, if you're interested in baptism, check the box. My church class will be happening in November. You could check that box. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, check that. If you would like to help with the new information center, probably be in next week, I'm guessing. If you want more information about the Advance in Clarkston, if you would like to donate for Sink or Swim books, all those boxes are there. Also, regarding the message, these are just response items. I know God loves me and is blessing me, even when difficult things are happening in my life. I will accept everything God has for me, and I will trust him. You would check that box if that's you.